Turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. This is entitled, A Love Story Begins. A Love Story Begins. We're going to take an overview of the book of Ruth. We will see in the book of Ruth the grace of God. The grace of God. And we will see that the grace of God produces a people of grace. You who struggle with grace, you who struggle with love, you who struggle with the mercy of God, hopefully you will see God in another light. I would ask you the question today, do you doubt God's grace towards you? Is there any doubt in your mind about the grace of God? Maybe you struggle with grace. You struggle with the grace of God. You struggle with God as Naomi did. Naomi says that God has made a bitter. Her charge against God is, I went out full and I came home empty. Am I speaking to you today? Are you bitter toward God? Do you feel that you went out full and He has brought you home empty? Or maybe you have felt less than. You have felt marginalized. You have felt less than. You have felt as Ruth, a Moabite, would have felt. The book of Ruth, through the Holy Spirit, will change that. As a result of coming face to face with the grace of God, you will become like Boaz. You will become like Ruth. We are to give. We are to bless. We are to love. We are to be gracious. We are to be merciful. We are to be a people of richness. We are to be a people of redemption. And we are to be a people of reconciliation to those around us. The question is that true of you? If you take to heart the truths of the book of Ruth, the truth that is in the book of Ruth, you will be a blessing to those around you. You will be a blessing to your friends. You will be a blessing to your neighbors. You will be a blessing to the fellow congregants. And you will be a blessing even to your enemies. Your enemies will even have to admit you are a blessing to them. Just as God came to Naomi, just as God came to Ruth, just as God came to Boaz and the rest of the characters in the book of Ruth, if you will but study and believe the God of this book, you will receive the same blessings. God is not a respecter of persons. Let us go back in time to the book of Ruth. It starts off the book of Ruth. It is a time of apostasy. It is a time of darkness. It is a time of sin. It is a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. In such a time, God visits His people. In such a time, the story of Ruth takes place. In such a time, arguably, the greatest love story ever told takes place. During such a time as that, apostasy, darkness, sin rampant, everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. God visits His people. The book of Ruth has been called the greatest piece of literature that has ever been written. As we begin the book of Ruth, it seems as if we're beginning another chapter of the book of Judges. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 tells us, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Here, Elimelech is about to leave his inheritance. He's about to leave Bethlehem, the house of bread. He dwells in the house of bread. He is about to leave the house of bread. He dwells in Judah. He dwells in the land of praise. But he's about to leave. Elimelech, his name means, "My God is king." But yet Elimelech does not trust his God. For he sees a famine with his eyes. Even though his name is "My God is King," he will leave the house of bread. He will leave the land of praise. And he will take his beloved wife and his two sons. And he will go to Moab, which is known as God's wash basin. It has the idea of when a people conquered, they would come and put their feet in the wash basin, and those that have been conquered would wash the victor's feet. Moab was known as God's wash basin. "My God is king," leaves the bread, leaves praise, takes his wife, takes his children to Moab, to an incestuous land, to the Moabites, to God's wash basin. Oh no! You say, "Not the book of Judges again." No. No, not the book of Judges again. No. Not sin again. No, not tragedy after tragedy. Please, not again. No. Not rebellion again. No, not pain, not judgment. No, not again. No, no, please. Please. Maybe. Except. Ruth 1:6 tells us something different. Ruth 1:6 tells us, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread." We see the grace of God. Elimelech left. His wife left with him. His sons left with him. He goes down to Moab. Elimelech winds up dead. The two sons wind up dead. And in spite of all of the darkness and the pain and the heartache, verse 6, we see the grace of God that He visited His people. She heard there's a blessing. God had visited His people. Visited means comforts. He blesses. When somebody visits, they usually stay for a while. When somebody visits you, the land was in darkness. It was in famine. But it says God visited the people. He visited the people. He provided for the people through an act of providence. The famine was over. God shows His paternal care. He visits His people. His people, He's a personal God. God in the midst of the apostasy, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the darkness, God visits. He visits, He gives. It's the first mention we have of God in the book of Ruth. Look at the text, verse 6. "The Lord had visited His people by giving them bread." The Lord had visited. The Lord, Yahweh, is used there. Yahweh visits. The Lord, the covenant name of God Almighty, He visits His people. Grace appears. Mercy appears. The love of God appears. The people are sitting in despair, sitting depressed, broken down. But yet, I am who I am appears, and He provides, He visits, He brings bread. It's a shadow of the bread that He would bring later to us when He would bring the bread of life. He brings at that time the physical bread for the people, a shadow of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, coming to us. Look in verse 7. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. They went on their way to return to the land of praise. Naomi had lost her husband, lost her sons, and yet God appears. She hears His blessing. I'm going to return. This hope is sparked in Ruth's heart. She says, I'm going to return. The blessing of returning. You who have left, you who have left the house of bread, the land of praise, and went down to Moab. The Lord is blessing. The Lord is blessing in Bethlehem. He's blessing in Judah. But you must leave Moab and return. The blessing of returning, the blessing of resurrection, the blessing of redemption, the blessing of repentance. Hope was sparked in Naomi, for she knew nothing but pain. She had gone out full, but was emptied. In verse 14 through verse 17, we have, then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed the mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her, and she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also. If anything but death parts you and me, we see the grace of God again, over and over. It starts off with despair, with no hope, but yet here Orpah leaves the blessing. See? Here's one, here's of the blessing, but she leaves. She doesn't return. But notice what Ruth does. Ruth clung. Ruth held on firmly. Ruth believed. Ruth had faith. She said, I'm not letting go. Orpah went back to her gods and to her people, but Ruth clung. Says, there is a God in Israel. I'm going to return with you, Naomi. I remember that God that you used to talk about before you became bitter. I remember that God when you were at one time full. I remember that God that you told me about. And I'm not leaving. Orpah, she left. She said, yeah, you're right. I don't think you're going to get me another husband. So she returns because she was in it for a husband, in it for provision. She was never in it because your God shall be my God. But Ruth clings. Ruth says, as it says in Mark, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you shall receive them and you shall have them. Ruth says, I'm going to cling to Naomi. I'm going to cling to her God. I want the grace of God. She reminds us. She reminds us of one of the patriarchs. Turn to Genesis 32. Of the same spirit. Ruth clung. Just as the patriarch Jacob did in Genesis 32. Verse 24 through 28. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That was the spirit that Ruth had. I am not leaving you, Naomi. I'm not leaving you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm going to cling to you come hell or high water. I've heard the story. of Jacob. Ruth said, I remember that story that you all told this one time about the patriarch Jacob, how he wrestled and said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with man, and you have prevailed, wrestled, struggled, prevailed. That was the spirit of Ruth. I'm going to cling to you. I'm going to be blessed. I had enough of despair, enough of pain, enough of heartache, enough of broken promises, enough. I had enough. I want the grace of God. I want to be blessed. I hate being cursed. I want to be blessed. And the question is, are you an Orpah? Are you a Ruth? Do you leave? Or do you cling? Do you know this God that provides in the famine? He brings the bread to the people. He shows up out of nowhere in the darkest time of the history in the book of Judges. That's where Ruth takes place, during the Judges. God always deals with a remnant, no matter what it looks like around you, no matter what country you're in, what prison cell, what famine, no matter what it looks like. God always deals with His people. He always deals with the remnant. And His grace is the reason why He deals with His people. For no other reason. He comes, He provides. He is the God of all grace and mercy. As chapter 2 unfolds, Ruth will begin to know what it means to be blessed. She's going to start reaping the fruit of having faith in that God that she said, your God is going to be my God. I heard about this God of yours that you proclaim. I want that God. And guess what? Ruth the Moabitess, whose husband died, says, I want to know the grace of God. I want to know what it's like to be blessed. I want to know what it means to be blessed of God. I want to know what it means to be loved of God. I want to know what it means to be redeemed of God. I want to know that grace provides. I want to know that grace is behind all of God's acts of providence. I want to know about the grace of God. Look at chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 of Ruth. Go back to Ruth, chapter 2. For anyone that just joined us, that you would know, this is an overview of the book of Ruth. So I'll be going through the four chapters. It's an overview, setting the groundwork for the grace of God. Produces a people of grace. The book of Ruth is about the grace of God, and it produces a people of grace. Chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. And it happened. It happened. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz. It just happened to take place. The grace of God decrees, and you wind up in the place that it just happened. She just happened to come to that place, to come to the part of the field, lo and behold, to Boaz. It just happened. Grace in the providence of God. Grace provides. Grace causes acts of providence to take place for you to be blessed. Notice the people. Boaz comes. The Lord be with you. Here's Boaz. He's blessing the people that are working for him, and the Lord bless you. As opposed to giving sneers and everything. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Boaz knew of the grace of God. The people in the field knew of the grace of God. Look at verses 8 and 9. Grace provides. Grace through acts of providence provides. Verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2 shows us grace also brings protection. Then Boaz said to Ruth, here's a person, she was just a widow. Now all of a sudden she happens upon Boaz's field. verses 8 and 9. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men to not touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Favor, protection, given. I have commanded them not to touch you. I have provided. I have, to an act of providence, brought you to this field. And now I, as your Redeemer, will protect you." So grace brings protection also. Look what it says in verse 10. "So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor?'" Why? Why? She's like, "This is great. This is great. I clung over here, and all of a sudden, look what's happening. Look what's happening. Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I'm a foreigner? I'm a Moabite. I'm less than. I'm a sinner. I'm outside of the covenants of grace. I'm outside of the promises. Why? Why have I found favor? Why? Because that's the grace of God. The grace of God gives favor. Not only does He give favor, it gives kindness. Not only kindness, but to those that are in a covenant, but it gives kindness to those outside of the covenant. Verse 12. "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Promise of God's favor. Grace brings promise of God's favor. You have come under these wings for refuge. God's going to repay you for your work. He's going to give you a full reward because you have come under His wings for refuge. You were not as Orpah and went back to your people and to your gods. You have come to the God of Israel. You have come to Jesus Christ. You have come to the Father of Jesus Christ and asked Him to bless you. And He will bless you if you would but believe Him. If you would but believe Him. Ruth, all she did was ask and got up and followed. That is all she did. And then obeyed what was told her. Verse 14 of chapter 2. "Now Boaz says to her at mealtime," here she is, "one minute I'm over here, there's a famine, my husband's dead, my father-in-law is dead, we can't provide for ourselves." Verse 14, "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here.'" You talk about a picture of Christ. "Is Boaz the Redeemer said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back." See what the grace of God does? Have you seen the grace of God yet? Have you seen the difference of the book of Ruth and the book of Judges, the period of darkness and apostasy and pain and heartache and disaster? His God shows up out of nowhere. There was a famine, and all of a sudden God visited His people. Visited His people. And all the people so far in the text, all they've been doing is blessing each other, showing each other kindness, showing grace to those around them. Because that's what grace produces. Those who understand the grace of God become a people of God. Boaz blessed the workers. The workers blessed Boaz back. Ruth is blessing Naomi. Naomi's blessing Ruth. It's nothing but everybody blessing each other. As opposed to the book of Judges, everybody stabbing each other in the back. The book of Ruth is all about the grace of God. You who doubt, have you read the book of Ruth? Do you believe the book of Ruth? You who struggle with the grace of God, have you read the book of Ruth? Do you believe the book of Ruth? You who want the grace of God, read the book of Ruth. Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. "And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her.'" Over and above excess. God is not stingy. You're stingy. You're stingy in your praise of Him, your love of Him, your lack of trust in Him. You're stingy. He's not stingy. He's over and above excess. And He's saying in the text, don't embarrass her. Don't make her feel embarrassed. He's saying, give a little extra. Look a little extra. While you're there, look at verse 16. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely. See? Purposely. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. Not just the outside. God's not tossing the crumbs off the table for you. Abundance, over, above, excess, not embarrassing you, showing you love, showing you mercy, showing you goodness, showing you kindness. Turn to Romans 5. Verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might increase, might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. What it's saying in context is superabounded to you. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounded towards you. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, grace reigns. Grace reigns over sin. Grace superabounding to you. Verse 21, back in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth the Moabitess said, He also said to me, You shall stay close by my young men, until they have finished all my harvest. He's telling us, stay with the Redeemer's workers. Stay with the children of God. Stay with them for blessings. Stay with the church. Stay within the church. You will find your blessings within the church universal. Stay within the church and you will find blessings. He tells the Redeemer, tells Ruth, stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. With the stay close. To those in the body of Christ. This is how we will be blessed. This is where grace operates. In the body of Christ. Verse 23. Same chapter. So she stayed close. She listened to what Boaz told her. So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. She stayed close to the workers of the Redeemer to the end. Do you see the grace of God yet in the text? Grace provides. Grace protects. Grace promises. The whole thing so far is God shows up. God does a work. Ruth believes what's being said, and she follows. She obeys what the Word is telling her. As we continue our overview of the grace of God, look at Ruth 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Shall I not seek security? Shall I not seek rest for you? The King James says rest. The New King James says security. Are you secure? Do you know what it's like to be secure? Do you know the verses that tell you of the grace of God so that you will be secure in your walk with Christ? Do you know the verses that tell you, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God? Is your mind at rest? Are you secure in your relationship with God? Naomi says, I want you to find rest, Ruth. Is it well with you? Is it well with you? The grace of God provides security and rest and wellness. Do you want that? If you do not have it, it's because you do not understand the grace of God. You're to have rest, you're to have peace, you have to have security. in the Redeemer. The Redeemer provides rest, wellness. Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 3. Naomi sent Ruth to Boaz, to the Redeemer. Here she is. She sends Ruth to the place of blessing. Chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Now Boaz, whose young woman you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he's winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on your best garment, go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Verse 4. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in and cover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. The Redeemer will tell you what you should do. A child of God has pointed you to the Redeemer. Naomi points Ruth to the Redeemer and says, what he tells you to do, follow what he tells you to do. And if you follow what he tells you to do, you're going to be blessed. And verse 5 tells us how Ruth responds. Naomi tells her, you go to the Redeemer, listen to what he tells you, listen to what Christ tells you. And verse 5 tells us how Ruth responds. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. I will do. She could have just as easily said, I don't believe you. I'm not going over there. I don't believe this. This is a fairy tale. I don't believe it. I don't believe that God can be this good to me. But Ruth was a woman of faith that says, I'm not letting go here. I had enough. I'm going to get blessed. I'm tired of living this way. I am going to be blessed. Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed. All. She didn't say, well, you know, that sounds a little crazy to me. I'm not quite sure about that. You know, I heard in Moab, you're not really to do that over there. And I heard this before and this and that and the other thing. She listened to the instructions that she received. Blessings come through obedience to the word that has been spoken to you. You believe upon the word that you hear, and you act upon it. You can hear these teachings in the book of Ruth and say, I'm going to cling as Ruth did, and I'm going to be blessed. Or you can be like Orpah and walk away and go back to your people and your God. But she said, I want to know the grace of God. I want to know the grace of God. The grace of God continues throughout the whole book. Look at verse 11. And now, my daughter, do not fear. Do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. You talk about the grace of God. Do not fear. Everybody around you is fearful. Fear of the economy, fearful of health, fearful of dying, fearful of divorce, fearful of their children rebelling, fearful of this, fearful of the other thing. And what does it say? Do not fear. Do you see the grace of God in that? That you can live a life of not fearing? God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. Every time that you say you're fearful of something, you're saying, I don't believe what God says. He says, I haven't given you the spirit of fear. And then notice what else it says there. And this is why, if you don't pray, well, verse 11, and now my daughter, do not fear, I will do for you all that you request. Whatsoever things that you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, if you don't have them, maybe it's because you don't believe. Maybe it's because you haven't asked. Maybe it's because I really don't believe in the God of this kind of grace. I believe in the God of the beat down that just beats me down. And my life is miserable and I'm to just get through, and when I get to glory, things will be better, hopefully. We're to live a full, gracious life to the very end with peace, security, blessings. That's what the book of Ruth is about. The grace of God produces a people of grace. Do not fear. What do you request? And look at verse 13. Stay this night and in the morning. See? There's another thing with prayer. Stay this night and in the morning. It shall be that if you will perform the duty of a close... Stay this night and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you... Good. Talking about the other one that could have been a redeemer. Let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you. As the Lord lives, I will perform the duty for you. Christ said, whatever things that you ask in my name, the Father will give you. The grace of God says, I'll do that for you. You want to be blessed? I'll do that for you. You want peace? I'll do that for you. You want blessing? I will do that for you. You want redemption? Come, whosoever will come. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. You want salvation? Then come. Come. I will do all. I will do all that you have requested. I will perform the duty for you. The Redeemer tells Ruth, I will do it. I will do the work. I will perform the duty that is necessary. The grace of God promises. The grace of God provides. The grace of God protects. And the grace of God accomplishes. Do you see the grace of God yet? Ruth is simply asking and believing and then receiving. Verse 15. Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley and laid it on her. And then she went into the city. Over and above. Nothing but blessing. Filling it up. Filling it up. Bring that over here. You little light? You little light? Your blessings are a little light? Bring that over here. Bring that over here. What is it that you're lacking? Bring it over here. I'll fill it up for you. Grace of God. Verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about, I'm in the wrong chapter. I'm going back. Chapter 3, verse 17. And she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Do not go empty-handed. He gave me. The Redeemer gave me. He gave me this blessing to bless you. That's what we're to do with our blessings. We are to know the grace of God. We are to become a people of the grace of God. And then we are to show the grace of God to everyone that we come in contact with on this planet. The grace of God produces a people of grace. Look at verse 18 of chapter 3. Then she said, beautiful, sit still, my daughter. Sit still. Stop burning yourself out here. Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. The Redeemer will not rest until he concludes the matter. Until he concludes the matter. He has concluded the matter. He shouted out one day, it is finished. It is over. People that understand the grace of God understand Hebrews 4. Most people that don't understand the grace of God, they don't understand Hebrews 4. This is why they don't understand the grace of God, because they're on a merit system with God. They're on works righteousness with God. They have no concept of the grace of God. Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10 tells us, therefore, there remains therefore a rest. Sit still. Rest. Take it easy. Therefore, a rest there remains for the people of God. Verse 10, Hebrews 4. For he who has entered his rest, in the rest that God has promised, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. You have rested from trying to earn your salvation with God Almighty. He will perform the work, and it's credited to your account, and all you need to do is simply to receive that. That is who has entered into his rest. Are you troubled? Does your mind keep on spinning around, trying to get right with God Almighty? Trying to do enough for him? Trying to get his blessing? His blessing comes freely. That's what the grace of God means. I bless you freely. My grace I give to you freely. It's unmerited favor. But most of Christianity is works righteousness. If I do this, God is going to do this, and he's going to be pleased with me, and then he's going to bless me back. You're not being blessed because you're approaching him in the wrong manner. You're going, Lord, here's my one or two talents, you know. Excuse me. The grace of God has got a hold of something here. And you're approaching God with this account, with this balance. Lord, I did this for you. I said my prayers. I read my Bible. I witnessed. I went to church. I gave money. I didn't murder nobody. I didn't this. I didn't do this. I didn't do this and this. I did this, and all of a sudden, my life is horrible, Lord. You're not squaring up the account. But that's what the problem is. You're coming to him on a works righteousness system, as opposed to coming, as Ruth said, Lord, bless me. I'm going to cling. This God is going to be my God. This God that says, the Bible says, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. The one who does not work. Does that sound crazy to you? To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, the Moabites of this world, his faith is credited as righteousness. Those that come to God that way. I'm an unworthy sinner, Lord, that don't deserve nothing but hell. Anything besides hell is a blessing. Is a blessing. Is a blessing. I would urge you to enter into that rest. As we come to chapter 4, we see Boaz, the redeemer, the Goel. As he goes to the gate, he sits down, he speaks up, he gathers the elders, he seeks to redeem. Verses 4 through 6 of chapter 4 tells us. I lost my spot on that last one. Go back to Ruth. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. I'll show you a contrast between what grace is and what grace is not. Ruth 4, verses 4 through 6. So now he goes down to the gate. There's one that has the redemptive rights ahead of him. So he sits down with this gentleman. And we're going to see the grace of God in action as opposed to a works righteousness kind of person. 4:4-6. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. This is Boaz talking to the other person. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And he said, I will redeem it. I will redeem it. Verse 5. Then Boaz is saying, all right, you're going to redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, too. Perpetuate the name of the dead to his inheritance. You have to take Ruth, the Moabitess. You have to take her along with the land. We see what grace is not. I will redeem it. I will not redeem it. In verse 6, he didn't want Ruth. He didn't want the sinner. He didn't want the outcast. He didn't want the marginalized. He wanted a nice, healthy piece of land. And he says in verse 6, what does he say? And the close relative said, notice first, I cannot redeem it. After he just got done in verse 4, I will redeem it. I will redeem it. I will not redeem it. All of a sudden, when Ruth got added to the equation, all of a sudden, I will redeem it became, I cannot redeem it for myself. lest I wound my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. Even though I said I will redeem it, I cannot redeem it. I cannot. I will not ruin it. I cannot redeem. I cannot share. I cannot have little Moabite children running around. I cannot have the neighbors talking. Don't you understand? I'm one of the elders at the gate. I'm one of the high and lifted up in Israel. I have to take a Moabite. And she's going to have my children? What are my family members going to say? What are my other kids going to say? What are they going to say down at the gate of the city with me, with the little Moabite children? What will they think? What will my family think? What will my relatives think? But the grace of God says, no, I'll redeem that. I'll redeem that. I'll redeem the less than. I'll redeem the marginalized. I'll redeem. The grace of God continues in verses 9 and 10. We see Boaz, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, he's making it known to everybody. He ain't doing it behind closed doors. You are witnesses this day that I bought all that was Elimelech's and that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses to this day. See? One that knows of the grace of God says, I'm going to show grace to her. I'm going to love that Moabite. I'm going to go into her and she's going to bear children that are of Moabite descent. And look at the grace of God continuing in verse 11. After he acquires Ruth as his wife, and all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord, Yahweh, make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. You think the Lord answered those prayers of those people? Ruth got her own book in the Bible. Everybody knows of Bethlehem. The Lord, once again, the grace of God continues. The Lord make the woman as Rachel, as Leah. Make this Moabite prosper. Make this Moabite famous. And that, brothers and sisters, is what becomes of all of those whom Christ redeems, whom Christ takes as his wife. In Romans 5, it says you were without strength, you were his enemies, you were sinners, you were powerless. And he came and he made you alive. The King of Glory came and made you alive. And he became your husband. He became your Redeemer because of the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The grace of God produces a people of grace. Verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Oh my! The little Moabite child was running wild. Oh my! Ruth became the Redeemer's wife. The Moabite, the outcast, the lesser than became Boaz's wife. He showed her the grace of God. Why would Boaz show the grace of God to those he came in contact with? All throughout the book, Boaz blesses, he blesses, he blesses. He was about blessing. That was, there's nothing about Boaz giving anybody a hard time in the book. He's a blesser. He blesses and blesses and blesses and blesses. Why? Did you ever ask the question why Boaz was such a gracious fellow? You can understand Ruth being gracious. She's a Moabite. She's excluded. She's outside of the covenant. Why is Boaz? Why is this guy such a into blessing people? Could it be that Boaz maybe was familiar with the grace of God? Could it be that he was familiar with the grace of God? You might ask me, how so, Bill? How would Boaz be familiar with the grace of God? Maybe Boaz had been like Ruth, an outsider. Maybe he, at one time, was one of those little Moabite kids that everybody looked down about and used to talk. You know, so-and-so, from down the block. You know. Like they talked about Christ. You know how that marriage took place, what the conception was all about. You heard the rumors. Maybe Boaz knew what it was like to have people whisper about his parents. Maybe Boaz knew something of that. Maybe he knew what it was like to be the son of a notorious sinner. Maybe Boaz's mother had taught him about the grace of God. Who was Boaz's mother? Turn to Matthew 1. Who was Boaz's mother? Matthew 1. Verse 5 tells us. Shimon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz by Rahab. Wait a second. That Rahab, that girl sounds familiar. I think I know her from the next block up. Didn't they used to speak about her in Joshua? Turn over to the book of Joshua. Let's see Boaz's mother's pedigree. Joshua 2, verse 1. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot, the house of a prostitute named Rahab. That's Boaz's mother. Well, in Joshua 6, look at verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Verse 25, same chapter. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot. Rahab the harlot. I think everyone here knows what it's like growing up with the kids in the neighborhood, the kids at school, the way the kids can be so cruel to children. Maybe Boaz understood the grace of God because he grew up with the kids in the neighborhood say, hey, I know your mama. I heard about your mama. She's a whore. Maybe Boaz understood what it's like to be looked down upon, to be lesser than, to be the outsider, to be the one that everybody and everything is against. But Boaz, mother, would have taught him about the grace of God. I would have said, son, I know what it's like, son, to be an outsider. But I found out about a gracious God. I found out about a God that redeemed sinners. And Rahab would have said, I know what that's like. Ruth would have said, I know what it's like to be a Moabite, to be a lesser than. And the funny thing is, when you look closer in Matthew 1, the funny thing is, Simon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. So you got a prostitute, and you got Ruth, a Moabite, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. And then notice, for a little kiss from God to show you about the grace of God. You got Boaz, the prostitute, Ruth, the Moabite, and David the king begot Solomon by her. By her. Don't even put the name there. By her, who had been the wife of Uriah. A prostitute, a Moabite, and Bathsheba. Adulterous affair, winds up in the death of her husband, and yet in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. The Bible is about the grace of God towards men. Men and women, the grace of God. God coming in the beginning to Adam and Eve. He didn't have to come to them. He could have left them damned like he did the angels. There's no plan of salvation for angels. Adam and Eve sinned. God could have left them there. He came in grace to Adam and Eve. And all from Genesis to Revelation, he comes in grace. He'll deal with you with grace or he'll deal with you with law, whichever way you want to have it. You want the grace of God, he'll give you the grace of God. You want to approach him on a works righteousness law system, you can have that too. The Jews in Exodus found out that don't work. And if you think that works, look at the book of Deuteronomy. Blessings if you do this, curse if you do this. But the grace of God says, I'm going to bless you, you know, in spite of yourself, no matter where you come, what you did. The question today is, do you know the grace of God? Would you like to know the grace of God? Have you ever asked God to give his grace to you? Have you ever asked him? God, I want to know what your grace is. You can simply ask him today because that is what Ruth did. She simply asked for grace. Do you doubt his grace towards you? Why? You can simply ask him for the gift of faith. Do you doubt his grace towards you? Then ask him for the gift of faith to believe that his grace is towards you. Are you bitter with God? Do you feel that you were once full? But now you are empty. Simply confess that bitterness and ask him to fill you. You're in the shape you're in because you approached him on the law of righteousness, works righteousness, tit for tat. I do this, you do that. I do this, you do that. And you wind up cursed. You wind up bitter. Have you ever felt marginalized? Have you felt less than? Have you felt left out? Have you felt not cared for? Ruth, Rahab, Boaz, they all understood that. Matter of fact, our great Redeemer Jesus Christ understood that. He came unto his own and they received him not. He hung on a cross dying and they're mocking him. He came unto his own and they received him not. But what did he do? Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Come today to Christ, to the Redeemer, and know what the grace of God is about. He will provide for you. He will protect you, for he has promised to do that. He's not a promise breaker. He is the promise keeper. Not the promise keepers, they're the promise breakers. I'm directing you to the promise keeper. For those who know the grace of God, should we not be a people of grace to those around us? Basically, you will know how much somebody understands the grace of God by the way they behave towards other people. They behave in a manner equal to what they're thinking of God. God acts this way towards me. How should I act towards those around me? God, through acts of providence, will use us to be a blessing. We'll see it time and time again, and it happened. Ruth came upon Boaz's field. It happened. It happened. God will arrange every circumstance in your life that you would be a blessing to those around us. And all you need to do is what Ruth did. Simply cling to the God of all grace. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We confess to our works righteousness, Father. And the proof is, every time that something happens in our life, we have a tendency to say, why me, Lord? Somebody that understands grace doesn't say, why me? They say, why not me? And Father, I would pray that we would be a people that would fall in love with your grace. That we would so behold your grace. We would so be raptured by your grace, Father, that it would change our lives. That we would be able to be a blessing to those around us. That it would be as when people seen Boaz, we're going to be blessed when we get in touch with Boaz. May that be said of us, Father. When our fellow congregants, our neighbors, our co-workers, when they see us coming, they're not looking to hide somewhere so they don't have to see us, but that they would cling, as Ruth did, and say, I want to be blessed. This man, this woman, he knows, she knows the way of blessing. Come, pray for me. Pray to your God for me. I want to be blessed.